This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by Light Up Media Group. Now, your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
We are back with Ryan Harrison with Slow the Game Down, and we're talking about vision and how important it is in baseball. I'm sure it's important in all sports. Ryan has worked with athletes in all sports, but we're focusing here on the baseball aspect. I saw a study, Ryan, and I don't remember the percentage, but I think it was at the ABC, at American Baseball Coach Association convention, where they said that 75% or more, it might even been higher, Major League players have a 20/12 vision. Now, I don't know if that vision, you're born with it, you're trained. You know, these were eye doctors that were up there saying that, you know, and again, that's maybe a study of 700 and some Major League players that they did. Tell us a little, what do you find with the Major League players? Is that true? Or maybe not, you know, how does it, I guess I'm having a hard time figuring the question here.
I think, Peter, that number's interesting, but we've evaluated numerous amounts of major league, minor league draftees, college kids, over Doc's 40 years, my 16 years of doing this. And, you know, not every major league player is 20/15 or 20/8 that they talk about. Now, some people are corrected that way. And that's what I think a lot of it has to do with, is that they're corrected to 20/15 or 20/8.
Corrected.
But the problem is now every kid wants to go to the eye doctor and says, hey, correct me to 20/8, 20/15.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, it's not all about clarity. It is about how you use your eyes. It is about some visual skill sets that aren't involved in that study. Clarity is a nice thing. It's important. And what's more important in reality is to have both eyes equal. And if you have one eye that's 20/15 and one that's 20/25, you're going to struggle. You know, even though the vision's not bad, you're going to struggle a little bit. You won't have as good a depth perception as you might need at a high velocity. Now, that's at a higher level of sport. Lower level of sport, you can get away with a lot more visual inefficiencies. But clarity, it's important. Put it that way.
Sure, but it's just the first step.
It's a first step, and I'm not sure people even understand. I know there's a former major league player that I know that wore contacts to have better clarity, and he couldn't stand the contacts, so he couldn't hit with the contacts. So he could hit better without his contacts when he wasn't as clear. Now, there's people like that. I'm not going to say don't hit without your contacts. I think it's with any player that I'm with, I try to get them as clear as possible and as comfortable as possible visually. For me personally, my left eye is slightly off. It's not 20/20. My right eye is 20/20. My left eye is probably 20/25. Now, if I was going to play a professional sport, I would definitely wear a contact in my left eye to make it better. But to drive, to walk around, to do everything.
You don't need it.
I really don't need it. But, you know, you want to have it as clear as possible. Be a benefit.
Well, I'm glad you brought both eyes, because now it made me think, all right, I'm a right-handed hitter. Is it important to be dominant left eye, right eye? Which one picks the ball up? Do they both pick it up?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, too, because a lot of people talk about dominant eye. And even in softball, they're always switching athletes because of a dominant eye issue on there. Now, sometimes in softball, it's because of speed, which is good. Mm-hmm. But the thing is with the dominant eye, I think it gets overplayed. I think it's important, but I don't think it's as important as people put emphasis into it, because I think there's other factors that cause some of those issues of people moving people with a dominant eye. Now, the reality is if what we talk about is a sensing eye, what the brain pays attention to. And what the brain pays attention to might be the same eye as your dominant eye. It may not be. If it is the same eye, let's just say as a it's my left eye. My left eye is dominant. My left eye is my sensing eye. As a right-handed hitter, my tendency is probably to pick the ball up earlier but not see the ball deep. That's usually with a tendency. Now, on the opposite side, if I'm a lefty, I may struggle picking the ball up early, but I'm better at seeing the ball deep.
Oh, wow.
Letting that ball. So sometimes there are some, you know, head placements that can cause that or make him worse or make him better. So it is a combination of, you know, again, if the left eye is dominant and the right eye is sensing, well, is that because my left eye prescription is off?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm using my right eye because my left eye is not as clear? Or is it that's what I'm naturally at? So there's a lot of questions when it comes to that. I think, you know, without getting their eyes checked necessarily, you got to make sure that they're in a comfortable position to allow both eyes to work.
Well, that makes sense now. So when he's up, when a young man's up to hit, you want both eyes focused straight ahead?
At the ball. I mean, at the release point.
Yeah, so you want your, I mean, you almost want your chin near your front shoulder, I guess.
I think it depends on each person. I think it depends on the stance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if the stance is more closed, then yeah.
Yeah, because and if the stance is more open, that might change also.
It might change as well. And, you know, I think that's also interpretation of the player and understand, you know, what the player hears. I think sometimes opening up sounds like they're, you know, flying open, but
right.
And maybe not. Maybe it's just getting them in a position that they can see the ball better. I know another major league guy that was a lefty, and his left eye was better, and he knew that he'd have to stretch his neck before he hit so that he can get that left eye around so he can make sure he can
stretch the muscles in the neck.
Exactly. So sometimes just having that flexibility in the neck is as good as getting him in the right position.
All right, this is important to a lot of young kids and parents also, the fear factor. I'm assuming the better you see the ball, the less fear you might have because you have the ability to get away from the ball if it's coming at you.
Yeah, I think, you know, the better that you do see it, you should be able to get away from it. But if you're thinking or if you're caught up in fear, it still makes it challenging. You know, obviously a big league guy gets hit. No one likes to get hit.
No.
It is part of the game.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, the fear of getting hit, you know, creates a lot of stress. And stress, the eyes don't work nearly as well when we're under stress.
Yeah, especially with young kids. Does it – now, I know baseball coaches have said, you know, if you're off the plate a little bit, rather than being on top of the plate, you can see the ball better because of the angle you might be catching it at. Is there any –
That's a good – question, and I think that really depends a little bit on the age and what you're facing. You know, angles are very different based off where a pitcher is on the mound.
Right.
I don't think people really figure that one out.
No, they don't.
The right side of the mound or the left side of the mound, there's a different angle that comes from that pitch. And, you know, backing off creates a different angle. Scooting forward creates a different angle. And I don't know if there's one right answer to create that
That's
correct angle.
Yeah.
I think you have to figure out, you know, the situation and the player. Now, you know, it's kind of funny. This is a little bit different, but kind of similar is, and this is kind of two parts to this. The statement is every player goes through getting jammed.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I always ask them is, how do you fix getting jammed? And most of them look at me and go, I have no idea.
Right.
Or what the most common answer is, well, I'm going to start earlier and I'm going to back off the plate.
Right.
Well, if they do that, now they're opening up the far side of the plate to the pitcher. And if the pitcher knows that they're going to start earlier, they're going to throw something slower and softer in a way.
Right.
Now you haven't solved the problem.
Right.
The real problem that they got jammed was they didn't recognize the pitch early enough and accurately enough. So they have to first work on picking that ball up earlier and more accurately. The second problem with that is when they back off, they're giving up a lot. To me, and I've had this happen with players, they're throwing me inside, I keep backing off, and then they get me on the outside pitch. Personally, scoot forward, you know, get closer to the plate. That pitcher's not going to want to throw inside. They're going to be afraid to hit you just as much as you getting hit.
That's true.
And still cover what you can cover and trust what you see. But they get caught in the mechanical part of it and not the visual game that we're really trying to play.
See, we just came full circle because now we're just right back to how important vision is. You know, why do we get jammed? Vision. Why do we not hit a ball well? Vision. You know, why are we not timing the ball well? Vision. Why? You know, I mean, there's so many things that just relate back to the vision aspect. Why do we not know how fast the ball is? Vision. What type of pitch it is? Vision. We just keep going back to vision. So again, emphasizing this only because you know, being around the game this long, I don't see a lot of people working on that aspect. So I'm glad that we're, you know, you're coming out with all this.
Well, you know, the other thing is, like, players understand it's the best ball that they ever see is when they have the take sign.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I used to love the take sign.
And it's like, wow, that was the best pitch. Yeah. You know? And the truth is, we want to be able to see all pitches that way. But distractions, focus on the wrong stuff, fatigue, stress, pressure, all those different things keep us from letting our natural vision work and letting our brain process it.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Cromer from Youth Baseball Talk. On this week's show, we were fortunate enough to sit down and talk to sports marketing legend Jim Darby from Easton Sports. Had a great conversation with Jim, and at the end of the conversation, you're going to find out why we all know the name Easton. You're also going to learn a little bit about some of the upcoming bat changes that are going to happen for our kids. To hear more from this marketing legend for one of the biggest and largest companies in the world when it comes to the game of youth baseball, just go to youthbaseballtalk.com and click on this week's episode. We'll see you on the field.
Well, let's take the stance. One more thing. How about hitters? They stay even with the plate, right? Now all of a sudden they move back, mm-hmm. okay, or move up. Positive, negatives, again, to vision.
I think it definitely adjusts some things, and for some guys, I think it's very good. Cal Ripken, I believe, was very good at moving in the box and changing those angles on those pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And certain players I don't think can do that. I don't think they can adjust very well on the fly. They need that routine. They need to be in the same spot. Sometimes even with different athletes, whether it's baseball, whether it's hockey, golf, I always like to explore and not tell them this is how you have to do it, but let's see what happens if you do it this way. Let's see if you do it this way. See what happens when you look at this or look at that, or what if we're in this angle and see how it works. Give you an example of that. Lefty-lefties.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys can't stand the lefty-lefties because it feels like it's coming out of your ear.
Right.
And
you actually hate that.
And what they tend to want to do is sometimes they open up and then they don't feel right. But to me, I look at it as a visual challenge. What's the angle? Where's that release point? So one of the questions I might ask a player is, what do you consider the center of the field? And what happens is they tend to get caught up in home plate being still and looking right at center field. To me, their center of field should be where the ball's coming out of, whether it's coming down low out of the release point, whether it's coming out high, whether it's coming from the right side or from the left side, and line up to compete against that angle. Just to add to that, when we hit off machines, the machine's not really coming out of a real release point
more
than most machines. And when we do it, we're straight on. We're lined up where that ball's coming straight. We're lined up. Our toes are lined up straight with it. Well, if it's coming out of our ear, out of the left ear, why don't we line our toes up with that angle?
Mm.
And it's not opening up, but it's lining up with the trajectory and the angle of the pitch.
So if you have the ability as a coach to throw batting practice rather than use a machine, obviously a lot better.
Definitely. I mean, that's the best visual exercise is really bullpen live pitching.
Yeah. Now we're coming down to the end. We got a couple more questions and then we're going to close it off. A couple things. When you first start a young man on hitting a baseball, all right, let's take a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, somewhere in that age. What from a vision standpoint, which could also relate to timing, but from a vision standpoint, when you first start tossing the ball, you start tossing it slow, fast, straight? Does it matter, I guess? What do you think?
I think it matters of a speed that makes them successful.
To start with.
I think, as much as this...
Is there one that they can see better than the other? One that's got an arc, you think, or one that's straight that they're going to see better?
That's a good question. I'm not really 100% sure I can answer
that. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. There's plenty of times on the show that there are no answers.
Yeah.
They're not out there yet. What I'm trying to figure out, and I'll give you this one. You always hear it. The reason a lot of guys can't advance to a higher level is they can't hit up the off-speed stuff. A lot of guys can hit the fastball because that's all they do.
Yeah.
That's all we do. We just always throw batting practice straight, straight, straight. So if you were to teach to hit the curveball, which is a visual thing, obviously,
mm-hmm.
If I'm going to sit there and watch every day 25 curveballs, 30 curveballs, even if I don't hit them, but if I'm just watching them, does that help the visual aspect? Or how would you train somebody to do that?
Definitely. It's not going to hurt. you know, the ability to see those trajectories and as many trajectories as possible is important to give anyone experience. I think if you're in a position where you don't want them swinging, I think they need to visualize how they would approach that, whether they're going to take those kind of pitches or they're going to swing and square those pitches up. You know, everyone talks about hit the fastball. And I get it. I understand it. But there's plenty of guys who have hit off speed and hit curveballs for some pretty good hits
right
on there. And, you know, players know how to swing. They have to recognize what that ball's doing and trajectories. And the more they see, the more efficient they're going to be. But the more accurately they see, the more efficient they'll be. And I think mixing the pitches up is good. Hmm. And getting them where they can track and see different pitches, different spins, see different angles, see different you know, that's why bringing up Pete Rose again is, you know, such an important part of his game is tracking that ball.
Right.
And some of these kids just don't track the ball nearly as much as they should.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking is, you know, when if you see a lot of curveballs, you know, you start getting used to them, and then you like you said, start mixing them up. When you talk about your machine, when you're throwing balls at 100 miles an hour and you're used to seeing them at 80, that helps your vision training in some ways.
Yeah, I think it creates confidence.
Yeah.
You know, there, and that's what the game's about, is a lot of confidence.
So there is some truth that if you train fast, then you go back to your speed, it kind of slows the game down a little bit.
Well, I think if you have confidence that you can handle something faster, then you have that confidence to go back. Now, as far as, you know, if you know, you train at 100 miles per hour and now you can hit 80 all the time, well, yes and no. You know, really what it creates is what they call velocitization. And it's kind of the same thing of driving down a highway and you're, say, on a rural highway and you're going 80 miles an hour and then you got to go into a town that you can only go 35. It feels like you're going about, you know, 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting. But at the same time, by the time you get to the other side of town, it takes you a while to get back to 80 and you feel like you're flying again.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, there's a little bit of a temporary relief of saying, man, if I can see that, this looks slow. But the next day, it doesn't mean if I go to 80 that I'm going to feel that same feeling unless I can retain that confidence level. And the thing is that, you know, guys like 100 miles per hour because they're straighter.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
They don't move as much. You know, that's why where Glavin and or not Glavin, Maddux and guys were a little bit more efficient because those their fastballs weren't that fast, but they moved a little bit more than the straight stuff.
So here's the last question. So if you're throwing BP, you probably recommend mix it up.
I would.
Yeah. Well, I thought we'd throw the same pitch all the time.
Yeah. And I think it depends a little bit what your goal is of, of working.
Absolutely.
You know? If the goal is to make them feel good, hey, just throw that, you know, easy fastball.
Right. Hey, we're gonna take a short break right here. That's one of our sponsors calling, and we always want to respect our sponsors. So we'll be back in 1 second. Okay, Ryan, we are at the end of the show. We really appreciate your time. Ryan has got to also get ready because he's going to be speaking over maybe 300 coaches, looks like, tonight on the first talk of the convention here in Vancouver with the BC Baseball and International Sports Group Coaches Convention. So we're excited about, you know, hearing Ryan tonight. But the last thing we just wanted to let Ryan say was any advice that anything else we might have missed. You know, I know it's only a 45-minute, an hour show. Is there anything that is very important that you feel that coaches need to know about that you want to give them before we end the show?
I think the one quick thing is you can't see when you're thinking. And if you're getting your players thinking too much, don't expect them to see very well. And, you know, it happens to us as humans, but it's something that we got to get those players to see and not think a little bit more.
Awesome. I'll tell you what, this was a great show, Ryan. We really appreciate time. Thanks for being on it.
I appreciate it. And thanks for the time.
All right. We look forward to seeing Ryan tonight. And thanks for everybody around the world for listening to the Inside Pitch. Don't forget, go to our Twitter page. We'll have a lot of information on Ryan also at Inside Pitch Show. Don't forget, we have also videos on our Facebook page, facebook.com/InsidePitchShow, along with our website, theinsidepitchpodcast.com. I really, really want to hear from you. I love your questions. If you have any special guests you want us to bring onto the show, don't forget to email me anything you'd like at peter at InsidePitchPodcast.com. Again, that's Peter at InsidePitchPodcast.com. And another reminder to go to Stitcher and iTunes and any major outlet, please hit subscribe. Really helps our show. If you want to give us a five-star rating, please do so. It'll help continue the show going on. And remember to check out all our shows on Lineup Media Group. Shows like Youth Baseball Talk and Let's Get It On. Check it out on lineupmediagroup.com. And lastly, share all the shows if you can on Facebook and on your Twitter, and send it to all your friends and coaches and parents by email. That really helps get the name of the show out there and make sure that we continue bringing all this education to you. Remember, coaches, education is the key to building the foundation of our sport, so keep getting smarter. It's so important. I'm your host, Peter Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and I'll see you on the next show. We're getting ready for the Vancouver BC Baseball International Sports Coaches Clinic. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hey, Coach Caliendo and Inside followers, this is Mark Sheehan from the National Pitching Association in Chicago with today's pitching tip for the Inside Pitch. Today's tip is about preparation, how to properly prepare yourself for the upcoming spring and summer seasons. Now, to ensure productive, healthy springs and summers, we want to make sure your arm is conditioned to throwing the ball on a regular basis. You should be throwing something every single day. And contrary to popular belief, the arm is designed for throwing. That's how our species has survived. We are born throwers. Throw the ball. In addition to throwing every day, your focus should also turn to aerobic and anaerobic activities. So let's talk quickly about the difference between aerobic and anaerobic. Anaerobic is Mach 3, hair on fire, fast-paced activities that do not allow you to hold a conversation, and every athlete should get 8 to 12 minutes every single day of anaerobic activity to enhance their VO2 max and facilitate the production of HGH. And we all know how good HGH is for everybody. So get in your anaerobic, 8 to 12 every single day. That should be done most of the time on team time when you have team practices. Then we have aerobic activity. So aerobic activity is conversation friendly. You can still hold a conversation when performing aerobic activities, which should be done a minimum of 3 times a week and a minimum of 20 minutes per session. Aerobic activity will strengthen your delivery system and help you manage lactic acid thresholds. This should be done on the athlete's own time, away from the team. So aerobic activity are things like jogging, elliptical activities, bicycling, things of that nature. It allows you to hold a conversation. So get in your aerobic, anaerobic, and throw every day. Every single day. Throw, throw, throw. Mark Sheehan for the Inside Pitch, signing out.
This has been the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo, a Lineup Media Group production. Get access to all of our podcasts, like Youth Baseball Talk, You're on the Clock NFL, and Let's Get It On with famed MMA referee Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. Online at lineupmediagroup.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.